All right, why you could start or lead a youth ministry. Hi, my name is Steve Elzinga. Again, I'm leading you in this youth ministry class. And in this lecture, we're going to look at the question, can you lead? Obviously, you have a desire. Otherwise, you wouldn't be taking this class. And maybe there's a tremendous need where you are. Maybe you've been pushed into it, shoved into it. I don't know. But the question is, can you do it? That's always the question with leadership. Maybe you're a confident kind of person and you just, how hard can anything be? I was a bit that way. One of the phrases that people say I say a lot is, how hard can it be? And then I discover often that it's a lot harder than I thought. So it's a good question. Can you do it? And how, I guess more importantly, how do you know that you could do it? All right. So why you could start. Now, you can see from this title that I'm a little prejudiced towards thinking you can. Because I think people sell themselves short more often than they oversell themselves. Okay, so why you could start or lead a youth ministry. Well, first of all, let's ask why you might not be able to lead a youth ministry. Or why you might think you can't lead a youth ministry. Number one, fear of not being able to connect. I mean, after all, you're an adult. I don't know how old you are. Maybe you're not much older than the youth you want to lead. Or maybe you're way older than the youth you want to lead. Either way, you're thinking, well, how do I know that I can have an impact? How do I know that anyone will follow me? How do I know that I could actually connect? I might be so out of touch. I might not understand their world. I might not speak their language. I don't know their music. I don't really know their culture. It's like I'm from another planet. 1 Samuel 2 is the story of the prophet Eli, or the priest Eli. He had two sons. And his two sons turned out horrible. Turns out Eli didn't know what he was doing as a parent. We read that story, I think, as parents, as adults, and it puts a little doubt. Eli was a priest, for goodness sake. He was the one that helped Samuel get going. And he could not relate to his own kids. Maybe, and if he couldn't, maybe I can't either. Why you might not? Not confident in your knowledge. This is the thing that I hear more often than anything else when it comes to taking on leadership in the church. I don't care what it is. Being called to be a pastor, teacher, leader, elder, deacon, I don't care, music person, whatever it is, most people, and especially evangelism. Why don't we do evangelism? I don't think I know enough. So we're always taking the class, always reading a book, always having an evangelistic thing being taught to us, and we still, after all of that, don't have confidence that we know enough. We never think we know enough. Not confident in our knowledge. Train a child but the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. But what if I don't know how to do that? And the problem with this discussion is there's always something else to learn. And because there's always something you don't know, you can always think you don't know enough. When is enough enough? Number three, why you might not. Not perfect in your life. Okay? You're going to be a role model to young people? You? I mean, what kind of young person were you? What kinds of things did you do? And when youth, you're trying to get your kids not to do drugs, for example. And then they ask you, did you do drugs? And then you'd have to admit, well, I did. Did you? So you're trying to model and teach something to youth, But you weren't that great either when you were young. Or maybe even now you struggle with some things. Does your sin or your sinful life in the past disqualify you from leading youth ministry? This is not a new fear. Exodus 3, 10 through 12. You know, God comes to Moses. Okay? Now, Moses was raised in the Pharaoh's court for 40 years. He had all the education, all the advantages. Okay? So he had a lot of things going for him. So God comes to him in the wilderness and said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Okay. That you know, Gideon, same thing. You know, a judge in Israel. He's complaining how, you know, God, you're letting bad things happen. And then the angel says to Gideon, well, I'm sending you. And then he goes, me? I am the worst one you could possibly be. So, your life is not perfect. You're not the one to lead. Does that disqualify you? Not sure about what to do. Okay, you're not sure about what to do. I mean, especially if you have to start a youth ministry. I don't know what to do. Where does one begin? Maybe you never, you know, when you were young, you were never in a youth ministry. So it's like, I don't know. By the way, that's why you're taking this class. Number five, afraid to make mistakes. Okay? You know, there's your past. You know, you weren't the perfect person in the past. But you still make mistakes now. You're not a perfect person now. And, okay, when you make a mistake and you suffer the consequences of your mistake, that's one thing. But if you make a mistake now and you suffer the consequences of your mistake, but also the young people suffer consequences of your mistake, well, that's another thing. All right, so these are typical reasons why people refrain from stepping up to the plate and leading in youth ministry. Let's talk about why you might, okay? Number one, you are a disciple. I take it you're a disciple of Jesus. You've given your life to Jesus, and you have said, I will follow and I will do whatever you are calling me to. That's a disciple. A disciple is one who is a disciple and wants to make more disciples. Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Now, who was he talking to? He was talking to disciples. And what are these disciples supposed to do? They're supposed to make disciples. A disciple is somebody who makes disciples. If you're a disciple and you're not making disciples, then are you a disciple? You're just a follower. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. By the way, that word, teaching them to obey, it doesn't say teaching. So if you think you want to be a youth minister in the youth ministry to just teach, and I'm going to teach you about the Bible, I'm going to teach you about life. No. You're teaching young people to obey. That's a different thing. That's a lifestyle. You're trying to have a lifestyle influence on young people. Well, but that's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who's following Jesus and trying to help others do the same. And that's who you are. Number two, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth, to your church, to the youth group. If you think about it, God calls us all to follow Him. God has the stuff he wants done in the world around us. And God could just do it. But he chooses to work through us. He chooses to work through us. He chooses to perhaps work through you. Yeah, you have all those negative things. Yeah, your life wasn't perfect. Yeah, you don't know exactly what you're doing. But God chooses to work through ordinary people like you. You have unique gifts and experiences. Yeah, there's no one like you. You've had some hard times, some good times, and God has brought you through all those things, not just for your experience, but to shape and mold you. Even the negative experiences have shaped and molded you. In fact, a lot of times God uses those negative experiences to influence us more than the good experiences. All to the blessing of those around us. 1 Corinthians 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I don't want you to be uninformed. Now to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You have been given a gift or gifts. Oh, I don't think I'm not gifted. Well, that's not what the Bible says. I've never been good at anything. Well, maybe you weren't a Christian. Now you are. And Christians get gifts. They're free. They're undeserved. They can come out of nowhere. You have no idea what you could or could not be good at yet in your life. Because God can give you a gift at any time. You could be a horrible speaker all your life and all of a sudden become a good speaker. Why? Because God decided to give you that gift. Never sell yourself short because you're selling God short. And you might look at another youth leader somewhere and they go, well, that person has this gift, this gift, this gift, and I don't have those gifts, so I can't do it. No. That's how God is using that person in that situation. God can use you with the gifts that you have to create and make something different. That's the beauty of the church. It's the assemblage of all the gifts that make the difference. Number four, you will not be alone. Okay, leading youth group, starting a youth group, being a part of a youth group, you won't be alone. Mark 6, verse 7, calling the 12 to him, Jesus, calling his disciples, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. Okay, why did Jesus do that? He could have sent the 12, 12 different places. He covered twice as much ground, but he sent them out two by two. Why? Because there's strength in numbers. God created us for fellowship. The Trinity is three persons in one. Okay? The whole institution of marriage, two people becoming one. There's something about being together. There's something about not being alone. You know, when you're alone and you're telling people, what God is calling you to do, you're just a lonely prophet crying in the wilderness. But when you have two people doing that, it's a movement. It's a movement. You will not be alone. Number five, you don't know what you can do with the help of the Holy Spirit until you try something where you need the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat this. You don't know what you can do with the help of the Holy Spirit until you try something where you need the Holy Spirit. So I find a lot of people complain, I don't see the Spirit of God. I don't see the power of God. I don't see anything special happening in my life. And then the question is, but are you attempting anything? See, if you're only attempting things that you know you can do, then when you're done doing them, well, what does it prove? You just did something you knew you could do. There's no room for God. Try doing something you know you can't do. Now, you might fail. But if you succeed, you will know that somehow you did it with something beyond yourself. Give the Holy Spirit room to work. Mark 6, verse 7, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These disciples were at the beginning of their discipleship process. And what does Jesus do? A little bit of training and boom, sends them out. It's going to be incredible. When I was 19 years old, I went on a mission trip to Ogden, Utah. And the reason I signed up for this is I wanted to learn. I wanted to start sharing my faith, and I didn't know how. I didn't dare. But I knew if I signed up for this thing, that I would be thrown into the deep end, that I would be pushed beyond what I would do on my own. And then maybe I would see where God would show up in my life. I could see maybe God's potential in me. And so, youth ministry. This might be your opportunity to see what God has in store for you. So you just step out. Oh, you don't have the right gifts. Oh, you don't have the right experience. You don't know what you're doing. Your past life wasn't the best. These are all excuses. Do not disqualify yourself. Do not disqualify the Holy Spirit that's in you. So as you're taking this class, start doing. Start doing. Stepping out in faith. We'll see you next time.